Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Perfect words for a Christian to say or sing. Yes, Lord, yes. Sing along. Today's message is entitled, Begin and End with Prayer. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
The gospel lesson is Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about the need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Amen. You know, too often I find myself reading and studying the Scriptures as though they were some kind of encyclopedia. I try to make accurate assessments of a particular text and then draw a conclusion so that a sermon will be soundly based on the Bible. Now, of course, that's my training. I was trained to do that. It is the same thing any good preacher would do. But I want to tell you that there is another very difficult dimension and a very important dimension to our study that we must not overlook. You see, the Bible is our sacred book. It is God's message to us. But you see, it is so easy to forget that these texts are based on human lives and human beings just like you and me, people who are yearning and struggling to find a faith that will carry them along the pathway of life. And not only that, writers like Dr. Luke desperately try to give us a clear picture of the life situation like the one we have today. See, this lesson is about some very tired and very faith-weary young disciples who are just over their heads on matters that they have never even suspected they'd have to deal with. I mean, just imagine yourself a full-time fisherman, and in just a matter of a few days, you're with God's Son calling you out to the whole world to follow Him. I mean, that's overwhelming. These men and women who followed Jesus faced unbelievable physical and emotional strain. Now, here's what helps me when I find myself using the Bible like a resource book instead of a book of life. I begin to think about one of the persons or disciples in the very scripture I'm reading. If you're a high-strung type person, you might think of the Apostle Peter for a while. Just picture him in your mind. See him following Jesus and trying to keep his cool when the religious leaders are chasing his best friend out of town. Or other times I think of the thousands of untold names of persons who followed Jesus from place to place. They were just praying that, and that was what they were saying, because what Jesus was saying was the truth. These people knew about oppression and powerlessness. When Jesus was crucified, imagine the fear that they felt for themselves and for their future. I often think of Jesus sitting on a hillside looking out over the people who have come to hear him and who will not understand and who will fall away. I think too about the thousands of moms and dads who took sick little children to heal. They took them to Jesus, and some were healed, but you know, most were not. There was simply not enough time for Jesus to get to everyone. But think if you were that mom or dad who was not able to see Jesus and your child went unhealed. Don't you know it must have hurt Jesus' heart too? Now, if you begin to read this lesson in the light of what is happening to these followers of Jesus, I think then you can begin to have an understanding of its meaning. In the very first line, Luke tells us the whole story. Hear it again. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. You see, losing heart means, Lord, I have tried so hard and nothing works. I have prayed and I've prayed, but it only seems to get worse. I guess, well, prayer just doesn't work. Or I've heard some say, why is God punishing me? You see, Jesus knows about all these kinds of feelings. Do you remember how often he prayed? Even in his darkest hour, the night before he was crucified, he was up all night praying. Did you realize that his prayer was not answered? His prayer was, Lord, if this cruel cup can pass from me, please let it do so. But you see, he was crucified anyway. I guess you could almost ask the question, well, if prayers don't come true, then why bother to pray at all? Jesus used this story in this lesson to teach us why we should continue to pray. A widow woman, a woman who was really powerless in her culture, well, she kept coming to this judge who could have cared less about her problem. But because of her constant, persistent calling on him, he finally heard her case and granted her justice. Now, here's the point. Jesus did not say, did not mean that if we keep praying and try to wear God out, that God will answer us. But he did mean that if this careless judge could be convinced to hear this widow, imagine how much more God wants to hear us, because he already loves us, the more than we can possibly imagine. And I think there's another level of meaning, a deeper meaning here too. There's something that happens to the person who spends much time in prayer. Put a red line under that. You see, there is an assurance and trust in God that only seems to come from spending time in prayer. Often the answer to prayer is a realistic understanding of the problem that from which we can find an answer. I know my dear friend Mary Cherry, who is one of those saints who knows more about prayer, deep prayer, than probably anybody I know. If you needed someone to pray, you'd want Mary to pray for you. She is a wise woman and a great Bible teacher. It seems like just yesterday, but not too long ago, her husband Sam was facing death. So many of us prayed for Sam's lungs to get better. We prayed for his healing, and my guess is that if you put all of us together, we still did not pray as earnestly as Mary did. When she prayed, her prayer was in her very being. Often I saw the agony on her face as she talked about feeling so helpless in his suffering. On many, many nights, Sam would kneel alongside the bed and hold on, because that was the only position in which he could hold himself to allow air to come into his lungs. Doctors have told me that suffocation is the most fearful way to die. Mary's prayer for Sam was, it was for courage for him to face life, and for courage for her to face life without him. It was for strength for her faith to go on. One night, Sam died quietly, and Mary was alongside of him. She still grieves. After these number of years, she still grieves so hard in her loss. But you know, she has trusted God with Sam and with herself. And I think Mary understands this lesson. I have a friend who has suffered severe losses in business. Decisions that seemed so right at the time have crushed his dreams against the stone of the wall of adversity. Ted is a person of great faith. He's prayed for good decisions. He prayed for answers, and he prayed for success, and he's lost nearly everything. He's been embarrassed in front of his family and his friends, and he clings with the straining hands and in heart to his faith. He told me that if it hadn't been for prayer, he said, "John, I would have probably died." His prayer could have been, "God, why did you let me down?" Instead, though, he prays as though someone is in this thing with him at all times. J.B. Phillips reminds us that some persons pray to see, and they see God as a kind of celestial Santa Claus or cosmic policeman. Mary and Ted have discovered that God is the one with whom we have a relationship, and that relationship is nurtured through prayer. My mom was Catholic, our family was Catholic, and as far back as I can remember, I always saw Mom carrying her rosary. But during the last few weeks of her life, she always held on to her rosary. The rosary, you probably know, it's a small string of beads that carry very special meaning during prayer. And I'm sure that I was way too young and too unwise to pay attention to the amount of prayer that my mother did. But even in the face of some very difficult circumstances, she found prayer as a refuge for meaning and hope. My sense is now that even though her prayers seemed to go unanswered, she never ceased to pray. I shall never forget seeing her at the funeral. There was a kind of peaceful look about her. The funeral director had placed a rosary in her folded hands. Now, I know that because she was Catholic, it is the custom for most persons to have a rosary like that, but for Mom, it was exactly like she would have wanted it. I believe her life began in prayer, and certainly ended in the same way, in prayer. Dr. Fred Craddock says that until your knuckles are bloody, bloody from beating on the door of prayer, you won't understand what this lesson is all about. And I think that that means that it is that you and I just have to take the time to pray and pray persistently. And as you pray, know that you are not alone, especially when you think your prayer is not heard. You know what? That's the time to pray even more. Would you covenant with me to pray for each other? Pray for me, for Whit, for Judy. Pray for our ministry, and we shall pray for you collectively. I will count on that. Amen.
Savior is waiting to enter.
Yes, John Wolfe, we strongly believe in the power of prayer. Prayer is not to persuade God to do what we want done. Rather, it is to bring us into the center of His will. And therefore, there's no such thing as unanswered prayer. When we pray, we are always brought into God's presence. We're always closer to Him, always blessed by communion with our loving Lord. Dear friend, please pray for us. We want you to be blessed, and we want the blessing of your love and prayers. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, something happens inside of us when we find ourselves really grateful for something or someone. So many people make it possible for us just to live every day. You know, we've had a couple of life-threatening events in our neighborhood recently, and each time an ambulance and a fire truck showed up, and all of the rescue team was there. Now, I know it's their jobs, but it's so scary until they arrive. One of our neighbors said, "You know, I've just got to do something for those people." Well, I know this. One thing we can do is to be full of gratitude. And gratitude is really good for our own health. I confess, sometimes I forget to be grateful for prayer. I mean, just think of it. We have access to our Lord anywhere, anytime through prayer. And one thing I have learned is that we must be persistent in our prayer life. Ironically, prayer is a free gift to all of us, but we often forget to use it. Too often we think of prayer only when we need it. Of course, any prayer is good. It doesn't make any difference how long or too short. But you see, the thing is, prayer is about a relationship. Prayer is not just reciting our prayer needs. It's more about developing an ongoing relationship with our Lord. And you see, only you and I can grow that relationship. Now, please understand, I'm not suggesting that you don't take time to pray. But I am encouraging each of us, you and me, all of us, to spend more time just quietly being in our Lord's presence. Just listening. You see, just lift our prayer needs, and then just sit for a while and listen. You know, even a few minutes is very helpful. And I would ask you to continue to lift our prayer team here, or our team here at Methodist Hour, in your prayers. And let us know how we can be more effective in our ministry. I count on you. In the name of Christ, amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.